Jesus rose with all power in his hand. Oh, Jesus rose in it, my Lord, in it. Tell me that he died once. I know that he rose one Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in it, my Lord. Tell me that the angels came down from. I know that they rolled the stone up. Tell me that the angel came down from glory. Lord, I know they rolled the stone. Tell me that the angel came down. I know that he rolled the stone. Jesus rose with all in his, my Lord, hand. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. My Lord, Jesus rose in his hand. My Lord, in. Tell me that he died one Friday. I know that he rose. Jesus rose with in his, my Lord, in his hand. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." 2014 is the year of God's favor. All blessings and every good gift that we enjoy comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I'm telling you this morning that the God I've come to worship this morning is worthy of some praise. The whole earth is full of his glory. I see his glory in green blades of grass. I see his glory in the birds as they wing their way through the air, singing about his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. I see his glory in the restless sea. I see his glory in the mighty mountains. I tell you, the whole earth is full of his glory. I want to make a correction. I want to thank Brother Brandon for the prayer, and Brother Jerry for the scripture. Yeah, I had a senior moment, but just don't run them too close together. Amen, amen. Today is recognized in the religious world as Easter Sunday. There is a great deal of emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus. But the truth of the matter is that you cannot preach the gospel of Christ without preaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is Jesus' signature miracle. This is the most important miracle of his ministry. In fact, this miracle, the miracle of the resurrection, is the most important miracle in the history of the world. And so we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day if you're a child of God. Because every day you say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Let us never lose sight of the fact that Jesus is special. When we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about a unique man. When we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about an unusual man. He's in a class all by himself. He is the Son of God, and he is God the Son. Amen. And when I look at some of his astounding miracles, when he walked on the water like it was freshly paved asphalt, he was glorious. He was sublime when leprosy fled at his presence and twisted limbs straightened at his touch. He was glorious because never spake man like this man. From his silver tongue and golden mouth fell healing words of truth, words of power, words of insight, words of inspiration. Never spake a man like this man. Never let us lose sight of the specialness, if I could use that terminology, of Jesus. He's in a class all by himself. And as an individual, all of us need to understand how special Jesus is. And when I look at the resurrection, the word resurrection is from the Greek word anastasis, and it means arising up from the dead. It literally means to stand again. It means arising up or to stand again. Now this morning, if you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to thank Brother Jerry for the excellent reading. I want to call your attention back to the gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I want to look at a few verses, 15 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. If you have that, say amen. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Using that reading, I want to talk from the subject, good news from beyond the graveyard. Good news from beyond the graveyard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and about verse 55, there are two significant questions that all of us need to think about. And those questions are, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, death and the grave go together. Death and the grave have inflicted a lot of pain in this world. When you lose a loved one, you're hurting big time. But I'm glad to say that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. God knows just how much we can bear. Well, death and the grave began in a garden called Eden, when the first couple, Adam and Eve, decided that they were not going to obey God. And when they decided that they were not going to obey God, they unleashed death into the world, and men have been dying since the book of Genesis. Amen. And so death and the grave go together. In fact, death and the grave signed a contract. You see, when death has finished its work, then you need a grave. Living folks don't need a grave. Dead people need graves. And because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, I let you know that something can happen a long time ago and affect you. Don't you think because it happened a few years ago, it doesn't affect you. What happened many years ago affects us. So what happened in that garden affects the fact that I'm living under a decree of death. Well, people are dying every year. People die every month. People die every week. And people die every day. Because death has been unleashed in our land. In the waters of South Korea, a ferry capsized. And death came in and overpowered the passengers. A 747 went down in the Indian Ocean. And according to authorities, that plane is somewhere at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. And if that is true, then death came to the passengers and the crew that was on that 747. Death is in the land. It's all around us. Jacob said in the book of Genesis, when Benjamin was about to be carried down to Egypt, Jacob said, if mischief befalls him along the way, you're going to bring my gray hairs down to the grave in sorrow. The man Job said that they live in wealth, but in a moment they go into the grave. And then he also said, Psalmist said that there is no remembrance of thee in death. Who can give you thanks from the grave? In Song of Solomon, Solomon wrote that death, rather, envy is as cruel as the grave. I'm telling you, the grave is cruel. The grave and death hurts people. There's no family on this earth, as you sit here this morning, that has not been touched by death. Amen. So death is real. Merrill Tennis said that all men, irrespective of their social status, irrespective of their mental capacity, irrespective of their physical strength, all men must go into the grave. So death and the grave, all around us, we have cemeteries that perhaps we pass by every day. Because death and the grave goes together. Another writer said that we are going into the unknown realms of death, and how we need a light to shine unto us. Amen. Nobody here can say this morning, I have an immunity from death. Long time ago, I decided I would go and buy me some grays, not because I'm homesick, but just facing the realities of life. That one day, death is going to come. Death can come and take somebody, a loved one, away into a foreign land, and can't nobody do nothing about it. Death can come and nobody can say, arrest death. Nobody can say, put an APB out on death. Because it keeps stalking our land. It keeps coming by. That's why we raise the question as a Christian. We must face these questions and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Well, the Friday that Jesus died was a dark day. The Friday that Jesus died was a sad day. The disciples saw their mentor, saw their teacher, saw their master, saw their Lord, and saw their Savior. They saw the one that they admired. They saw the one that they look up to. They saw the one they had so much confidence in. They saw him brutally murdered. And they thought it was all over. They said, in a sense, it was a good ride, but it's all over now. Because death had come, and Jesus Christ, the one who claimed to be the Son of God, the one who had opened blinded eyes, the one who took five loaves of bread and two fish and opened up a Captain D on a grassy hillside, died on the cross. And there they were thinking. One thing about it, when death comes, it affects your mind. You can't sleep. You can't hardly eat, because death can come and rock your world. Death can come and turn your world upside down. There they saw Jesus die on the cross. Their hope went down, but I'm glad to say, but early Sunday morning, early on Sunday morning, their hope got CPR, and they were revived. Is that all right? That was a thief hanging on the cross, and they were giving Christ the business. You know, sometime when you're down, some people will kick you when you down. Don't you think everybody gonna give you a helping hand when you down? Remember Bobby Womack's song, "Nobody Wants You When You're Down and Out." You see, folks will lend you money when they figure you got some. Y'all better come on talk to me. But if you ain't got none, they're going to say, how you going to pay me back? Is that all right? Well, this thief saw that there was something special about Jesus. And so he said, when you come into your kingdom, remember, man, you know, it was the fourth quarter of his life. And some people perhaps today are in the fourth quarter. And in football lingo, there's a thing called the two-minute warning. And what they're telling you, that in 2 minutes, this game's going to be over. So whatever you're going to do, you better do it in 2 minutes. If you're behind by 30 points, you better win. You better score 31 in 2 minutes. Well, we know that can't happen, but you better try. Is that all right? Well, Jesus told that thief hanging on the cross in the fourth quarter, we going in overtime. He said, because today you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, brothers and sisters, that's the sad news. That's the sad news. And you don't have good news coming out the cemetery. As a rule, if you see a family going into the cemetery, you know that it's not good news. And somebody said that we're all in a funeral procession. And one day, we're going to make the head cock. We're all in a funeral procession, and one day, you're going to be the guest of honor at your own funeral. I'm going to be the guest of honor at my own funeral. Is that right? You're going to have folks get up and say things about you that you never did hear while you were living. Praise God. Perhaps some will even make up something. Say something nice about you. Well, then after the funeral is over, they've sang the song and somebody preached the word. Then the procession moves out to the cemetery. And they gather around a grave site. The preacher says some words sort of like this. It has pleased Almighty God to take out of the world the soul of our departed brother or sister. It pleased God to do this. It becomes our sad but necessary duty to return his body back to the earth. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. After that's said, and a prayer is given and the benediction is given, then the family and the friends must move away. And they must move on. Amen. No matter how much they love you, they got to move away. And they got to move on. Amen. That's the sad news about the graveyard. A graveyard is a place where a parcel of ground where they bury the dead. I was talking to, you know how times change. I was talking to A.C. Chambers III, and he was telling me about how his dad had trained him and taught him. You know, it's interesting how times have changed. There was a time in Birmingham when black folks couldn't be buried in Elmwood Cemetery. Y'all all right? But now, the new color is green. Amen. Brother Earl, I remember a time when black folks couldn't be buried in Valhalla Cemetery. But now, the color is green. Isn't that right? So, in fact, AC told me that, did you know now that white funeral homes are now soliciting black folks to bury them? Sister Johnson, now the new color is green. Is that right? Doesn't matter about that no more. But the point is, out of the graveyard comes sad news. But Brother Harris read in the 28th chapter, and I had my brother to read that entire chapter. I know that was a task for him, but he got through it. And the verse says in verse 1 that as the Sabbath was coming to a close, and as they moved toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the sepulcher of Jesus. Remember now, Jesus died. Is that right? Is that correct? And the last report they had, Brother West, was that Jesus was dead. So they came, and some of us from time to time go visit the place where our loved ones are. May go on their birthday, may go on a special day. Sometime we may go and we bring fresh flowers to keep that memory alive, to keep that love alive, even though they're departed. Is that right? Well, when Mary Magdalene and Mary got there, the Bible says, or before they got there, the Bible says there was a great earthquake. earthquake. You know, God can cause an earthquake anytime he get ready. God caused an earthquake at Philippi. And the jail shook so violently that the doors were open and all of their bands became free. Well, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God caused an earthquake. An angel descended from heaven. The Bible says his countenance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. And even though they had put a stone to keep him in, but remember, they had a rock inside a rock. And you can't keep the rock inside of the rock outside of the rock. And the angel came and he rolled the stone away. And it said when the soldiers or the keeper of the gate saw him, they began to tremble violently and they became as dead men. And when they got themselves together, they fled. Because when God gets ready, nobody can withstand him. When God speaks, who can but prophesy? Is that all right? And they rolled the stone away. And when Mary Magdalene and other Mary got there, there was some good news out of a graveyard. Are y'all hearing this? There was some good news. The last report they got was that Jesus was dead. But now the angels say that Jesus, who was crucified, is not here. But he's risen. Come see the spot where the Lord lay. Now let's notice something. It said he's not here, but he was not there, not because they had come to the wrong grave. He was not there because they had misplaced the body. He was not there because the disciples had come and stolen the body away. But he was not there because he had risen, he had come back to life again. Amen. That's some good news. How many of y'all could use some good news? How many of y'all like good news? The good news is all right, ain't it? Amen. You know, I was being a little mischievous on April Fool's Day. So I decided I'd call some folks and have a little fun. So I called my sister. I said, "Girl, guess what?" She said, "What?" I said, "The bestest done hit." Asbestos. Y'all know about asbestos? Y'all better get hip to asbestos now. Some folks getting paid, bro, right? I said, all of us getting $40,000 apiece. She's a boy, that's April Fool. Well, I ain't stopped there. Cupcake, I called Brian. I said, "Brian." And you know, I got to have the excitement in the voice. You know, you got to. I said, "Hey, Brian. What? I said, "Boy, you better sit down." I said, "Man, the bestest done hit. $40,000 a piece." He said, "What?" He said, "I'll call Jason. I'll call him." I said, "No, man, April Fool, man." Now that just mean money. Tina, that just mean, ain't it? Call somebody. You know, but we all can relate to good news. And we all want to hear what? Some good news. Is that right? And sometimes I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, God can bring good news to us in strange places. Does that make sense? Because those ladies that came to the tomb to just minister to Christ had no idea that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And it doesn't matter how much we keep saying it, it's still good news. Somebody still needs to say, he's not here, but he's risen from the dead. May I tell you why this is relevant to us? Can I talk about that for a little bit? Why is it that every man, woman, boy, girl here today need to understand that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is relevant and important to you? It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter how much education you got. You may have 2 terminal degrees. You may make 6 figures in your salary. You may drive a brand new car. You may have just got engaged or got a new job. Huh? May have a new girlfriend. May have a new boyfriend. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It may be black, white. It doesn't matter. I'm saying that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is relevant to you and is good news for you. And of course, all of us need to understand why this is important. You're living your life in 2014 and you're keeping up with current events, but do you understand how relevant and how important to you that the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ is? You got to go to work tomorrow. Amen. But I'm still telling you that it is relevant and that it is important. Is it irrelevant? You notice in the churches of Christ, we have, and we thank God for Sister Ryan, we have communion every Sunday. Is that right? We are commemorating what? The death, the burial, and the what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's good news. Ain't that good news? That's wonderful news. But let me give you some reasons why it's important. And I'm going to give these reasons based on 1 Corinthians 15. Number one, the first reason I want to give you is based on verse number 15. Amen. If Christ is still dead, the report is he is alive. But not only is he alive, he's alive forevermore. He's never going to die again. That's important to you, because all of us are facing death. Is that right? The first reason, based on verse 14, is that if Christ is not risen, preaching is worthless. It's useless. Us gathering wherever we gather to worship, and we sit down and we hear preaching, we hear messages, we hear teaching. If Jesus Christ is not risen, that's a waste of time. It's worthless. It's useless. Amen. A second reason why it's important to us is found in verse 15. If Christ is not risen, then the ones who told us, because we didn't see it, but a witness can share the truth with you. You don't have to be there if you got a reliable witness. Is that right? Well, the witnesses have told us that God raised up Jesus from the dead. If he did not rise, they have perpetrated a fraud. In other words, they lied to us. And nobody likes to be lied to. Do you? A third reason why it is relevant to us. If Christ is not risen, our faith is vain. How many today have faith in Christ as the Son of God? If he is not risen, our faith is vain. And how many today feel like your sins have been forgiven? Well, if Christ is not risen, I'm still in my sins. That's verse 17. And here's the fourth reason. This is verse 19. If Christ is not risen, we are the most miserable people in the entire world. We pitiful. If somebody said, boy, you pitiful. Anybody ever told you that? You just pitiful. Pitiable or pitiful. However you want to say it. Is that all right? If Christ is not risen because he's made all of these exceeding great and precious promises, and if he's dead, he cannot produce. One time a guy owed me some money and he died. I said, well, it's all over. Huh? If somebody died, owe you money, it's all over. Is that right? Unless you can do some legal maneuvering, some kind of way. But under normal circumstances, it's all over. Is that right? Well, since Christ, let's think about this. Since Christ has been raised from the dead, how should that affect my thinking? Should I think like he didn't rise or was not raised from the dead? Because as a man thinks in his heart, what? What do you think about most of the time? During the course of a week, what you think about most of the time? Would you be finna call that girl and holler at her? Or call that dude? Or seeing how you trying to get paid? Or seeing how you ain't gonna have to try to work? If he rose, should that affect the way I think? If he rose, should you come to church sometime? Or should you make a commitment to Christ? You're living your life and you just loose as a goose. You footloose and fancy free. You just doing, it's my thing. Do what I want to do. I can't tell you. I'm going to leave it right there. Shouldn't I make a commitment to Christ? My thinking. Does the resurrection affect my thinking process? Does it affect my behavior? Should I behave like I've been behaving? Should I struggle with sin? Should I try to fight it? Should I try to live right? If he's risen. Amen. Well, let me show you something. In conclusion, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And he said, the gates of Hades or hell, that's Hades. Hades is the unseen world. There's an unseen world out there, brothers and sisters, that loved ones, when we say they departed this life, they go into an unseen world. It's real. You just can't see it. He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell, of the bars of Hades, will not prevent me from doing it. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I want to look at two scriptures with you. Acts 2, 27 and verse 31. Now, what this is saying is that Jesus Christ went into the unseen world. One day I'm going into the unseen world. One day we're all going into the unseen world. Is that right? Look at verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Literally, Hades. The grave. Was Christ's body left in the grave? Look at it. It said, neither will thy Holy One, will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That is, Jesus Christ's body did not decay. He didn't leave it there, and his body did not experience decay. Drop down to verse 31 now. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades. That should be Hades. Neither did his flesh see corruption. Jesus said, the unseen forces of hell won't prevent me from building my church. Jesus said, the counsels of the unseen world will not prevent me from building my church. And when a man dies, that's the end of his work. But with Christ, it was the beginning of his work. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, he defeated death. He rose again. He overcame death. He rose again. Ain't that good news? Lord, that's the signet to a miracle. He has proven to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. It doesn't matter that the Muslim don't believe it. It doesn't matter that Jehovah's Witnesses doesn't believe it. His signet to a miracle is he rose from the dead. His body was not left in the grave. So let's answer the question. O death, y'all ready to answer the question? O death, now does death hurt? You know how death can really hurt you? Dying your sin. Oh, you really got hurt. You die in your sin. Let's break it on down. You're going to hell. And you don't know when you're going to die, right? So what's the best thing for you to do? Accept Christ as your Savior. Is that right? But now watch this. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Watch this. The sting of death is sin. But Christ has taken away my sin, because he died for my sins according to the scriptures. The strength of sin is the law. He took away the law and nailed it to his cross. Is that all right? So now I can say, oh death, O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? And then it's time to put on your shouting shoes. Is that all right? And some folks say, well, I don't shout. Well, if some haven't good enough to you, some strong enough for you, you tend to want to shout. Is that all right? Somebody asked, why do black folks shout in movie theaters? Why do black folks shout in houses of worship? Is that all right? Well, when you've been down and out and you've been hurt and God done brought you from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way, you tend to want to shout. Is that all right? When God done brought you from the outhouse to the White House, you tend to want to shout. Is that all right? When God done brought you from the slave ship to the championship, You tend to want to shout when God done paid off all your bills and all your credit card. Oh, you tend to want to shout. Is that all right? When you've been on your sick bed and your doctor said you wasn't going to get well, you tend to want to shout. Is that all right? When God has made your enemies your footstool, you tend to want to shout. And sometime I shout in the morning. Are y'all feeling this? Sometime I shout in the evening. And sometime I shout around supper time. And if you mess with me enough, I shout at midnight. Is that all right? I'll wake you up. Is that all right? Well, what is he shouting for? Because I got on my shouting shoes. Is that all right? Well, Jesus Christ shows me how to live. Now that Christ has risen from the dead, I know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that all right? Because Christ has been raised from the dead, I know how to give. Is that all right? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Is that all right? And God loves a cheerful giver. Is that all right? But not only that, because Christ has been raised from the dead, I know how to cry. Is that all right? When life gets too hard for me, I know how to say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee for no other help I know. Is that all right? Because of that, I know how to die. Is that all right? One day, I can say I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Is that all right? I kept the faith. Is that all right? Well, one day, Job was looking down the corridors of time and said, if a man die, shall he live again? Didn't he say that? Well, Jesus Christ spoke back across the centuries and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Is that all right? And I tell you, Christianity, if you ain't a Christian, you need to be one. Is that all right? Because Christianity is about a celebration. We celebrate something that happened over 2,000 years ago. We celebrate when Brother Lance Cow began to sing those songs. We celebrated when Brandon Harris started praying that prayer. We celebrated when Jerry Harris read the scripture. Is that all right? We celebrate when Peter Moss preached the gospel. Is that all right? We celebrate when whoever it is, Brother Rutley's going to come and commune at the table. Is that all right? And oh, we celebrate when we give like we prosper. Is that all right? I tell you, ain't nobody like Jesus Christ. Is that all right? And because he lives, Sister Smith, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone and life is worth the living just because he lives. Is that all right? And my Lord will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And if y'all don't mind, I want to tell you what he means to me. He's my ABCs. Is that all right? He's my A. He's Alpha and Omega. B, he's a bright and a morning star. C, he's Christ the Lord. Is that all right? D, he's my deliverer. Can anybody say amen to that? E, he's an everlasting father. F, he's a fabulous 10,000 to my soul. G, he's God with us. Is that all right? H, he's the head of the church. I am that I am. J, just a closer walk with thee. Is that all right? K, he's a king of kings. L, he's a lily of the valley. M, he's a Messiah. Lord bless you. Is that all right? M, he's a Messiah. N, he's a Nazarene. O, he's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that all right? P, he's a prince of peace. R, he's a rose of Sharon. S, he's a savior of the world. T, he's a true vine. Is that all right? U, he's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that all right? V, he's a victor over death. W, he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. X, he's an extra that makes my life worth living. Y, yesterday, today, and forever. Is that all right? Z, Zion bound when the morning comes. Is that all right? Oh, he's my everything. And because he lives, oh, you can put on your shouting shoes. Is that all right? And I tell you, if you can do two steps to the right, two steps to the left, and bag it up and kick, Is that all right? You ought to put on your shouting shoes for Jesus Christ, because he's on a class cupcake, and I know you can do that. Amen. You and Maddie can't do. Is that all right? You can put on your shouting shoes. Amen. And I tell you, child of God, everything gonna be all right. Amen. No matter what you're going through, everything gonna be all right. And you know why would you stand, please? You know why? Because he lives. Amen. Because he lives, I want to be a member of the body of Christ. Because he lives, I want to be a member of the family of God. Because he lives, I want to be a member of the church of Christ. Because he lives, I want to share in the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because he lives, I want to share in the inheritance of Christ. And because he lives, I want to share in the glory of Christ. Now, God has made his move. You need to make your move. Send his son. He made his move, right? Are you going to make your move? What you waiting on? You going to live like he didn't die, and like he wasn't buried, and like he wasn't resurrected? Because he lives, shouldn't you accept him? Why not accept him today? Wouldn't it be a grand day to say, I accepted Christ on Easter Sunday? Wouldn't that be glorious? Well, how do I accept him? By hearing that he died, was buried, rose again. Amen. Believe that. John 3:16. Repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. Confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Be immersed. You got to be baptized. Can't pray your way through. Can't pray a sinner's prayer. You can't say, Lord, come into my heart and save my soul. You can say it, but that's not the Bible's way. We're talking about the Bible's way. The Bible's way, you got to be immersed in water for the remission of sin. And then you rise to walk in newness of life, abundant life, eternal life. You can't beat that. Who made you a better offer than that? Newness of life, abundant life, eternal life. Isn't that awesome? And it's only possible because he lives. Amen. Are you here this morning? Do you need to come to Christ? Good news out of the graveyard. I'm going to the graveyard, but that's not the last word. I got hope beyond the grave. Ain't that wonderful? Amen? That's wonderful news. Let's try a little of this. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, to give forgiveness. He did and died to dry my heart. An empty tomb is there to say my Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.